This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But speaking of Daniels, how confident should we be that he can repeat the year he just had? Danny, last year, C.J. Stroud did that thing. The amazing rookie year, nobody done before. This guy is now one of the best in the league. Everyone's debating, is it too soon to put him fifth behind the big four? Like, a lot of the same stuff we're saying with Daniels.
Yep.
Daniels, though, has a whole different element of his game where he's one of the great running quarterbacks that we've ever seen after 1 year. And Stroud is a pocket passer who doesn't move around nearly the same. But similarly, both of them came to their teams, elevated their organizations.
Changed bad organizations into good. Yeah.
100%. Then Stroud took a small step back with more around him the next year. With the continuity of the coordinator that was hiring, interviewing for head coaching jobs, staying around, which was expected to be the gift. And then, I don't know if this is true or not, but the reports come out that they were butting heads, and that guy gets fired. So the question becomes, what's your level of confidence, and how sure are you that Daniels is a top five performer again next year?
I love Jaden Daniels so much. He is so good. I'm so glad he's here. 6 out of 10. People are going to hear that and go, what the hell's the matter with you? You're ignoring every other factor when you talk about it. You just referenced C.J. Stroud. That doesn't account for anybody else having a break. Like, Justin Herbert can't have a great season because now you're not fifth anymore. It doesn't allow for any growth or any kind of great year from guys like Bo Nix or Brock Purdy back with a healthy San Francisco 49ers team, or Jalen Hurts ascending, playing like he did in the Super Bowl. There are too many variables. Then you start to add in a far more difficult schedule. And I'm not saying we're going to have a C.J. Stroud type season where he threw 20 touchdowns, 12 picks, and was fine, pedestrian for most of the year. I think you said it very well. Daniels' floor is higher because of the athleticism and his willingness and ability to run and impact defenses in that way. But the idea that we just get out of bed, throw the 53 jerseys out on the field, and he's just top five, like it's automatic, let's not count our chickens. Again, I love the dude. He is the answer. Doesn't change my bullishness or excitement for him this year, long-term or otherwise, but there needs to be a little bit of role slowing, if that's even a turn of phrase.
Well, right? Here's what I take out of what you just said, and I think this is an important clarification. What we aren't saying is, what is the chance that was the best year he'll have? That's not the question. That's not what we're suggesting, mm-hmm. right? What is the chance that was flukish? What is the chance that, you know, he's not going to be able to find that level again? That's not the point. What we're asking is just this coming season, with everybody now giving you their best shot, having the tape to study, being able to play your strengths with their strengths, how sure are we that he can run this year back and be at that top five or seven, whatever you want to say, level again? And we chose top five because he was graded a top five quarterback by PFF at the end of the year.
That's where they put him, yeah.
That doesn't mean, by the way, that the top four were the actual best four. Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Lamar. But the idea is he was elite. He was in the top tier of quarterback play this season. He played at an MVP level for almost the entire part of the season where he was not overcoming his rib issue, right? And as the year went on, it became pretty obvious as he got back to playing at that level. Well, there was just something in those several weeks that didn't allow him to do that. I am confident that he will always be able to be a playmaker with his feet. Like, I don't think that goes away. I don't think that gets taken away. I think he will only be more successful in that area in terms of yards per attempt. You know, he didn't really rip off a ridiculous run this year.
There's no Griffin against Minnesota, right?
Didn't have it. Didn't have the 70-plus yarder. Like, and that's coming in his career. I mean, he could score on an 85-yard touchdown on a first and 10 from the 15 or something. I don't think anyone would be shocked. He's going to have 125, 130-yard games that he didn't really have but once or twice this year. I think the Falcons game with overtime with all those runs, 16 attempts. He's going to run 20 times at some point maybe next year. Who knows? But my confidence is about where yours is. I would say middling that he can repeat, and it has nothing to do with him. It's just hard to do, whether it's Robert Griffin or it's I'm trying to think of the other really special quarterback seasons. You know, Dak in a run-first offense. But, like, you know what
like
happens?
Baker Mayfield set the touchdown record in Cleveland his first year and then was a guy that bounced around to seven different teams or whatever before finally reclaiming his career in Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly threw a lot of touchdowns. I'm trying to think of, like, the guys after their rookie years where we said, oh, my God, this dude is special. I don't know how many people were saying that about Baker after he threw the 14, 15 picks as a rookie in 13 games, but I get your point. He threw 27 touchdowns. Nobody had ever done that before. But I'm thinking best rookie seasons ever, and it's like him, Stroud, Dak, Herbert maybe. Herbert's the only guy here of the last several years that probably was better the following season, right? I mean, in terms of, like, do you go up on the staircase or down? Because his yards per attempt were probably the same, but more touchdowns, a ton more yards. I think he played in a couple more games. Like, his sophomore year, he threw for 5,000
yards. Yeah, five grand and 38 tutties, yeah.
I'll take that. Where do I sign up for that?
No, let me sign up.
Yeah, you said 6 out of 10. I don't want to use the same number. I guess I'd go 5 out of 10 that he plays at that level. But I do think there's a path to making that like an 8 out of 10 for me, which is to say, if you were to line the season back up and you were to ask him behind a pedestrian line and with the receiver room that they had or the caliber of it next year, maybe it's a 5.5 or so. You go out and you fortify your O-line with a new starting tackle and a new starting guard. You add a number two wide receiver. You give me a little playmaking ability at tight end, whether that's Ertz coming back or not. And then you go get a home run hitter at running back. You're now better in every area around him. You've upgraded at RB, solidified your line, your tight ends, your wide receivers. Danny, I'm an 8, 8.5. Because even if he doesn't play at the exact same level, you would think that the continuity and the weaponry is going to help him. And you could point to C.J. Stroud and say, well, what happened? I think they made I don't have a good answer for that. Honestly, I don't want to even speculate because
I
don't know the
answer.
Yeah,
I can't diagnose it. I cannot figure out what it was because everything that I would want to have done was done. I think we had somebody, maybe it was Mike Jones, again, one of the days you were out, sort of asked him about that sort of generally. And I think maybe it was an offensive line question where maybe they didn't invest enough there and that group may have struggled. Maybe there's some injury. Again, I can't break down who their right guard is or you know how he played. But I think that's probably a huge part of it, maybe a lesson learned there. Again, people aren't going to hear the gushing love and praise that I've got for Jaden Daniels. They'll just hear the second part. And your point, I think, is very good about how hard it is. B, I think we're underestimating potential schedule and the challenges and how good some of these defenses are. And, I mean, are you telling me again for, you know, the second half of the season they can't run the ball at all? Except for him? Is that sustainable? Now, again, he's excellent. He'll get some rushing yards. But at what cost? Right? I mean, there's just so much in the way with how hard this is. That it basically tells me just guaranteeing it is folly. Again, I'd still bet on the guy. And I probably will. If there's a book, somebody makes me a book that says, will Jaden Daniels have as good a season this year as he did year number one? I'm in favor of it. I think it's more likely to happen than not because I think he's that special. But the challenges in the way don't get easier, right? Even with more weapons, see Houston.
Yeah, I'm looking at their schedule next year. We don't know when they play teams, but we know who the opponents are. And you got, you know, Brian Flores in the Vikings defense. obviously, the Rams defense and McVay, the way they played. How about the Packers defense second half of the season, what was a tough customer, the Chiefs and Spags. I mean, there's going to be some coordinators that want to play some chess with him, no doubt about it. But we'd open up the phones on this at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. The question being, level of confidence for you that Daniels can do what he did this season in a year, in year two? And then also, what can they do to help you feel more confident about that? And that one's easier to me. That's just about beefing up around him. I really think, though, if they either get weapons or they add to the line, I think you'll disagree with me here. I'd rather them have the best line in the league and maybe let him elevate their next Alameda Zacchaeus and see where you go with McLaurin and McCaffrey and whatever receivers are in here.
Yeah, if it has
then
to,
vice versa.
If it has to be a binary, I'd probably take that just because, again, long-term health and sustainability. For me, like, him running is inevitable, and it's going to happen, and it's good most of the time when it does. But we already saw, we got away with a, I don't know, would you call that a mild scare with him having to leave the Carolina game, and then he wasn't the same for a month, give or take?
Well, I mean, did we get away with it? Because he missed 3.5 quarters of a game. Now, luckily, they scored 40 points, and Mariota played great.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was a shell of himself for 3 weeks. He played nothing like Jaden Daniels. He might as well have been playing a backup quarterback.
I say we got away with it because they won 12 games at the NFC title game, and his career wasn't altered. But, yeah, it depends on your definition therein. But to me, it's got to be the protection and maximization of the player is what's essential. That axiom for me hasn't changed even since the beginning of last year when we're talking about drafting Jaden Daniels potentially. Protecting him and then maximizing him. And if I've got to choose one or the other, it's protection. Because I'll have a lower ceiling offense as long as that guy's safe and see what else happens. Ideally, it's a renaissance on offense and you are a buzzsaw on that side of the ball. And I'll hopefully add to the defense too. But yeah, I mean, if I had to pick one, it would be protection.
By the way, going back to your point about his injury, that is still my number one concern and will be just
same
going
here
into any season
with
him. And people could say, oh, anybody could get hurt. Yeah, especially when you run 16 times in a few games, you know, especially when you weigh 197 pounds or whatever it is that he weighs. And I know he's vowed to try to get bigger and stronger and add muscle. And I feel better about him and his durability and his avoidance of injuries now, obviously, than it did before the season when I used it as a major ding against him before the draft. Because my opinion was, I don't know if he can navigate a full season. And he mostly did. Now, I'm not going to go hard with that because he did have a broken rib, it seems like, and missed, you know, again, a game and then, you know, a month where he wasn't right and he was compromised. But he played through it to his credit, so I give him full marks for that. But I guess my point is, like, that's not linear. Just because this year went that way doesn't mean next year, one of those helmet-to-helmet hits, and they happened mostly early in the year, but remember, like, the Bucs game?
Yes,
took that
sideways,
huge hit. For whatever reason, whoever was the red hat that day didn't pull him off the field, luckily, and say, you got to go to the blue tent. Like, there might be three of those this year where the helmet-to-helmet hit that didn't result in that. You get pulled out, and now you miss a quarter, or you miss the rest of the game, or whatever. So that is another reason why, you know, it's hard to be a 9. So to speak, do you think that he's going to play every down in all 17 games? Yes, anybody can get hurt, but it's like saying to someone who drives a motorcycle and they're having a conversation about them being safe or whatever, and they're like, oh, well, you know, car crashes happen and there's deaths in that too. It's like, well, yeah, understood, but you are less safe if you're getting into a crash when you're on a motorcycle, you know, and you are, as a quarterback, probably less likely to play 17 games when you're running it more times than everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, it's all, you know, we don't think about these hits. We didn't with Griffin for most of the year until you don't get up from that one. Like, remember that hit against Atlanta from behind where, like, both his knees buckled and he folded back?
Of course,
and
going into the end zone.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, I think it was against Atlanta. Maybe I got my games crossed. But it was a sack from behind where someone dove low and he wrenched back and, like, both his legs and were stuck underneath the defender, and he kind of collapsed like an accordion or folded like a chair, whatever analogy you want to use. And
oh, you're talking about Daniel. Sorry, I thought you were talking about Griffin against the Falcons.
No. And it's you're going, oh my God. And then he hops back up and smiles and pats the guy on the head. And you're going, oh, it's fine. And it becomes an afterthought.
Oh, totally.
That's their running or not. There's already plenty of risk, and then you add in what happened against Carolina.
Well, but see, that hit is kind of what changed my opinion on him a little bit. The hit you just referenced, dude, that's a torn everything for certain guys. You know, I mean, there is this, and I knock on wood when I say this, but there's like this Gumby feel where he seems to pop back up, and he seems to be okay. And to your point, like, that logic doesn't really work. It sounds great until it doesn't. Like, Oh, he'll be fine. He's Jaden Daniels. He doesn't really get hurt. Well, there was that time against Alabama where, you know, he's walking off the field to get checked or whatever. But, yeah, the hit against the Falcons is when I thought, all right, he's one of those. There are guys that get hurt a lot. There are injury-riddled guys. There's, like, frail guys. Frail is, I think, the word I'm looking for. Braille is what you read if you're using
your
fingers.
You can't see, yeah.
Yeah, very different. Mm-hmm. But there's these frail guys, and then there's dudes that just, for whatever reason, don't get hurt that often. Like, this is going to be a terrible bit. I hope this doesn't sound like I'm comparing myself. But, like, I've never gotten stitches in my life, okay? I have never really broken a bone in my life. Weird. But, like, the amount of times in sports where I'm like, I think I might have broke this or done this. And it has not happened. It's very odd. Well, I know buddies that get hurt all the time. And it's just like, luck. I promise you, it's not that I took care of my body better. It's not like I drank more milk or trained or stretched. I promise you, I got lucky to an extent, and hit the lottery in that way. And like some guy, they're just bodies. I think a doctor would probably back me up on this. Some people are just more inclined to get hurt than others. And when he did that thing against the Falcons, I thought, well, maybe he's got the lucky bones and body thing going, the lucky ligament structure.